Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, May 8th, and welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in again every Monday and Tuesday right here on Blog Talk Radio at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 o'clock Pacific Time. It's the Left of Straight Show, where we do some fun chat and interviews with celebrities and notable people of interest for the LGBT community and our allies. Hope you guys, like I said, had a great weekend. It's still early spring here in Northeast Ohio, kids. It was chilly this morning. We woke up to 34 degrees on May 8th. Now it's beautiful sunshine out and it's getting up to mid-50s today. But still, it was a chilly morning, I'm telling you. But yesterday was beautiful outside. It's cold in the morning. We had rain all Friday and part of Saturday. But yesterday was just beautiful, so I was out and about, and today was a very nice day, too. Hope you guys had a great weekend, had some nice weather, was able to get some things done, and thanks for tuning in today. Great show. Just a little bit, we're going to have comedian, actor, and activist, and advocate, Jason Stewart on. Looking forward to talking to him again. If you missed last week's show, couple of great shows last week. On Monday, we had Ken Schneck. He's has his own radio show. He's a podcaster of This Show Is So Gay. He has a new book coming out talking all about his exploits, which are very cool. And then Tuesday, we had E. Jag Begford. She goes by Jag. She is the promoter and founder of Rainbow Fashion Week, which is held in New York City right before Pride Week there. An amazing series of fashion events that have a carbon neutral environment, works with all types of body types, all parts of gender expression. Very cool. And then we had on the people from Child of the 70s, great webcast, getting ready with fifth and final season, raising funds right now. Michael Vaccaro, who was the star and wrote it and created it. Charlie Vaughn is producer this year. Lorinda Lisitzo is on last couple of years with Randy Jones, of course, from The Village People, the original cowboy and Village People. They were on a great talk last week. And for Standing on Soapbox Wednesday, Gaetano Jones, my buddy, was on. So if you miss any episode, you have two ways to listen to them. You can always go right here at blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight, LEFTOFSTR8, and you can look up all the past episodes, or we have a free app, and I hope you'll download the free app and listen to it on your phone, your iPhone, your Android, your tablet. Just go to your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio, and you can download it right on there and never miss an episode. I have some bracelets coming up, guys. I'm trying to raise some funds here to do a music festival in Northeast Ohio with some of the guests we've had on, raise some money for Pride, try to do a music festival and use some of these artists to help out with our Pride Young stuff. We never had a real name artist, singer, or anything come out. We had a drag queen 1 year. This is our 9th annual Pride Festival, July 29th, and I really want to try to get some. These bracelets are really cool gel rainbow bracelets that have a commemorative metal little clasp that has the Day of Marriage Equality on it. Come in a nice box. I think I'm going to sell them for $10 that includes shipping. And I really could use your help. It'll help up for a music festival here in Northeast Ohio. So look for details on that on the website, here on the radio, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'd really appreciate any help you can for that. Looking at the news real quick here, we have lot of stuff happened this weekend. The religious freedom bill that we were talking about last week, we were all worried about he was signing, ended up not being about LGBT per se yet, thank goodness. It was more for churches tax exempt and that they're able to politic now from the pulpit, which is something they've always really kind of done and just never enforced that much. So we kind of escaped a bullet one more time. The second time, say third time, as you say, is a charm. We kind of hope it doesn't come back up again. Big congratulations to Tom Daly and Dustin Lance Black. Been engaged for 4 years. They got married over the weekend at Bovey Castle Hotel out in England there. Tom Daly made the wedding cake himself. Who knows, he was such a handy baker, so that's very cool. So big shout out to them. I've been trying to get Dustin on the show for so long. I loved his We Will Rise miniseries. Of course, he wrote Milk. And any of you guys know Dustin out there, please get him my information. I'd love to have him on the show sometime soon. Let them have a nice long honeymoon, and we'll try to get him on from then. You guys know I'm a superhero geek, superhero super fan. If you have not seen the new Spider-Man, he made a guest appearance in the last Avengers movie. And his name is Tom Holland. He took over for the current Spider-Man, and which, of course, was Andrew Garfield was the most current incarnation after Tobey Maguire. This guy is Tom Holland. He's going to be the new Spider-Man movie. It opens, I believe, June 5th or first weekend of June. Looks like it's going to be a great, fun movie. He was really kind of fun little cameo in the Avengers. Well, he was on last night. They had the MTV Awards, and he was on the Lip Sync Battle before. If you guys don't watch Lip Sync Battle, it's on Sunday nights here in Northeast Ohio. Rachel LL Cool J is the host. Is the co-host, and married to Anyway, great show. They have celebrities come out and do lip sync battles and for a little fun prize and everything. Well, they had last night, they had Zendaya versus Tom Holland from Spider-Man, and Tom Holland came out and just slayed Rihanna's Umbrella song. The dancing was incredible. I don't know where this guy gets his moves, but the dancing was incredible. The whole lip sync was incredible. You need to go watch this video. It was just amazing stuff. Check it out on YouTube. Just look under Tom Holland, LLAND, Umbrella, Lip Sync Battle. And oh my God, you're going to be very happy you did. Speaking of the MTV Music Awards that happened over the weekend, Ashton Sanders, I don't think they've been aired yet, Ashton Sanders and Jared Jerome from Moonlight, if you remember that movie that won Best Picture, they won for Best Kiss at the MTV Music Awards. It's the LGBT Kiss. They won for Best Kiss at the MTV Music Awards this weekend. So I thought that was pretty amazing and kind of cool. And then this weekend, if you watch those Saturday Night Live, they were back live again. Chris Pine hosted Saturday Night Live. And, of course, Chris from so many great movies, including, of course, the Star Trek movies, was on. Very handsome guy, turned very bearish and very very good looking guy with his beard lately and all this other stuff. He hosted it, and it was so fun. Him, Bobby Moynihan, and three of the other character actors there did a bit in a garage where they start talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, RuPaul is just blowing up with Drag Race. Says you're having over a million people each week. Now let's move to VH1. Well, now you know you made it when Saturday Night Live does a skit on you. That's how good Saturday Night Live is anymore, that it really has the pop culture pulse. It got so good again during the elections, but they did a skit with these guys pretending to be macho guys, just happened to hear about Rag Place and just the way it kind of turns around into it, where finally Chris Pine and Bobby Moynihan go to a lip sync battle for their life. And it was just hilarious. Again, go check your YouTube, go check out Lip Sync Battle. Saturday Night Live, Chris Pine, Bobby Moynihan. Very funny sketch. I think you'll enjoy that a lot. And last thing I want to say, we're talking about some great Broadway stuff last year and just came across my attention. It's called Gently Down the Stream with Harvey Fierstein. Fierstein is like my hero, of course, from Torch Song Trilogy. He wrote the book for so many great things for Nazis and for Kinky Boots. Well, now he is acting again in this movie, in this play on Broadway called Gently Down the Stream. It's a public theater. It's about different generational LGBT relationships. Sounds amazing. Now it's something I have to see if I can get to it before it ends. But that was a great thing. So that's kind of everything I heard about. So we're going to have on in just a little bit, the amazing Jason Stewart will be calling in, talk all about his new film and his career. Let's go ahead and play a little music while he comes on here. This is David Hernandez, Beautiful. And we'll be back in just a little bit. You're listening to Left of Straight Show.
Father in the sky, and they're starting to align. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the tide. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? Cause I just can't get you off of my mind. And I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love song. Baby, you're beautiful, I think you're beautiful.
Alrighty, we are back. That is David Hernandez from American Idol with Beautiful. I'm excited to have back on the Left of Straight Show today one of the hardest working guys in show business. Whether working on film, television, the comedy clubs, he amazes with his wit, his charm, and he portrayed recently his piercing dramatic skills. Outside the entertainment business, he's served our community and allies as a mentor, foster, friend, and son. and he's back behind the camera again, working as both director and actor in his work, Like Father. I can't wait to talk to him all about that and so much more. Please welcome back to the show, Jason Stewart. Jason, how you doing, man?
Wow, that was an incredible intro. I got to say, I'm a little
overwhelmed. Incredible career, you have to have an incredible intro.
God, I'm a little overwhelmed. I've got to talk to my therapist. You have to hold on. I'm verklempt.
Well, welcome back to the show. I'm so glad to talk to you. First off, right after, like I said, I love doing research on my guests. Even though you've been on before, I still like to dig into things. And I found out that you are a liar, Jason Stewart. That's not
Why?
Even really your name. You owe it all to the iconic Schwabel's drugstore and screen legend Shelley Winters and one of my favorites, Sally Kirkland. So what say you, liar, Jason Stewart?
Yeah, I had a different name until I was 19. Isn't that weird?
That's
I never
funny.
Even think about it. It was so long ago. Should I tell that story?
You should, because
when
Shelley
I was a
Winters
kid,
that's amazing.
When I was a kid, you know, I kept looking for ways to get in, and the only ways that I knew to get into show business were things I saw in the movies. So I had heard that Schwab's was the place to go because I had seen it, I guess, in a movie or a TV show or something. And I went in there. In those days, it was a drugstore and a coffee shop, and they were sort of connected. And you'd stand there in line to go to lunch because it was so popular place to hang out. So they would just put you European style at any table. So I waited around and manipulated it. So there was a table with Shelley Winters, and I saw her there. Sally Kirkland, who I didn't know who that was. She was a skinny little blonde gal eating a piece of cheese. And then this other guy named Skippy Lowe, who was a later I found out he was one of the first people to do what we call podcast now, but he did public access television. And he was there, and I swear to God, I thought he was a woman. I didn't even know he was a man. I thought he was little lesbian leprechaun. And he's since passed. Lovely, sweet guy, and I did his show a million times. And they sat me at the table, and I sat there for around 10 minutes, and nobody said a word to me. And then finally Shelley, you know, turns around and she says, "So who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm Stuart Greif." She said, "What?" I said, "Stuart Ted Greif. Greif, it's a German name." She says, "Oh, well, that's a stupid name for a cute kid." Sally laughed. And I said, "Well, thank you." And then fast forward 3 months later, I got my first acting job on television in a TV comedy series called Life and Times of Eddie Roberts, playing a pot-smoking ping-pong player, which was sort of a Spinelli character from Fast Times at Ridgemont High that Sean Penn had done. I sort of did a sort of takeoff on him, got the part. In the credits, they spelled my name Stuart Greif. And I thought, oh, God, I don't want to be Stuart Greif. So I called my dad. I said, "Dad, they spelled my name wrong in the credits." He said, "You should be like, you know, like Ted Baxter on the, you know, your name is Ted. You should do like Ted Stewart, you know, do it like that." And I said, "No, Dad, he's known as somebody who's stupid." So I thought, I'm going to change it to Jason Stewart, you know, something sort of cool. So I changed my name to Jason Stewart because on the TV show Here Come the Brides, I was in love with the brothers Joshua, Jason, and Jeremy. I thought they were so sweet and cute and so daddy-like, and I didn't have much. My father was always sort of rough and brusque and European, and you know. And then years later, when I started to get successful, he said, "What are you going to do? You're going to keep this stupid name? You're not going to use our name?" And I said, "No, Dad, I already changed." He said, "Oh, God." And that's how Jason Stewart came to be, from Stewart Ted Greif, or Greif.
I love it. That's a great story. I love that Shelley Winters and Sally Kirkland had something to do with it. That is awesome. Well, I was going through, I love following you on social media, and you and I have something in common. Our moms recently had birthdays. My mom turned
70,
and your mom turned 80. How exciting was that? Looks like she had a grand old time.
How did you know? Oh, on Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. I saw videos and everything, pictures.
Oh, the
She's
video
lovely.
Was funny, huh?
It was hilarious. It was great. She is so cute.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm going there after this to bring her some stuff that she left at my house.
Well, tell her that I love the videos and that I said happy birthday.
Same date as Barbra Streisand and Shirley MacLaine.
There you go. Who can fight with that? I love that. I took my mom out. I just spent 2 weeks in L.A. the first week of April. Took my mom out to L.A., and she just turned 78 recently, but we're actually going there. It would have been her and my dad's 50th wedding anniversary on April 8th. So she wanted to go to the big TMC movie festival they have there. So I took her to LA and I had a big party for a lot of guests and everything. And everyone fell in love with my mom, and she was like a bigger hit than I was. It's just the way moms are.
Oh, my mom always. So guess who I share my birthday with?
Who do you
Charles Nelson
with?
Riley. Charles Nelson
awesome.
Riley. Rip Taylor. And then, of course, my lookalikes, Liam Hemsworth, Orlando Bloom, and Patrick Dempsey.
That is pretty cool. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, no wonder with Rip Taylor as your birthday, you had to be gay. It's like a law.
When I think I'm looking it up, Shonda Rhimes has the same birthday as me. And Michael Pena.
That is nice. Shonda. Got to be on Shonda Land. I mean, you're on everything else on TV. You got to be on at least one of Shonda's.
I would love that. I would so love that. Boy, that's a goal.
Well, you would kill after Birth of a Nation. I mean, we got to talk, but that's why you're on the show last time. We talked about that, and that was just an amazing turn for you. I mean, you've always been known for great acting, but it's always been pretty in a comedic bent. And now you're playing this slave owner, which was not a nice guy, Jason. And how was that for you? I mean, does it still reverberate for you at all?
It didn't feel that way when I was doing it. I just felt so lucky to be in a film with such incredible actors, you know, to work with Nate Parker, to work with Armie Hammer, you know, Gabrielle Union, Penelope Ann Miller, Jackie R. Haley.
Right.
It was just extraordinary. And I just felt so lucky, you know, to do that. I just wanted to do my best job. And then people would say to me afterwards, what did it feel like to play such a terrible villain? I said, you know, thrilled. It didn't bother me at all, you know, to play the villain.
Well, it was an amazing piece of acting. I mean, it was just totally
really,
mesmerizing.
Oh, really, really sweet of you. I wish, tell somebody.
I will tell, well, I mean, it got a lot of good buzz. I wish it keeps going just crazy in video here.
Well, it'll be next on HBO very soon. It's on HBO now, demand, but it'll be on HBO live. You know.
And then one of the things I love that it kind of got you to write a piece that I read about on you. You wrote this piece about the Seder through the eyes of a slave owner. I thought that was the most interesting writing you did. I love the way that you kind of took just that into perspective through your Jewish faith, but then you talk about all the other movies you kind of had a part of, A Day Without a Mexican, The Strain, Tangerine. You've really had all these different feels in all these type of movies. That was a great writing.
I think it's no
piece.
Mistake. It's no mistake because I've always been a a supporter of the underdog. So it's no mistake that I'm getting to be a part of these movies that say things about what our society is like and what's going on, from being A Day Without a Mexican, which is a film about, the way we treat Latinos in this country, and certainly seniors and gay marriage and Love is Strange, transgender people and homeless and Tangerine, and then certainly Black Lives Matter and The Birth of a Nation.
Right. It's just it's a great evolution of you, and you see you kind of coming of age with all these places too. How does it feel personally to connect with these things? Do you catch the aha moments at the time, or does it kind of come with time after you've played the characters, or how does that work into your consciousness?
I think afterwards, because I'm so busy trying to do, you know, a good job that I don't. When I saw myself in Birth of a Nation, first I was sort of shocked because they made me look so terrible. And then I got, after watching it, because I watched it several times at all different festivals, Toronto, you know, Sundance, the screenings here in L.A., and
right.
I sort of, I sort of felt that it wasn't me. It didn't even seem like me anymore.
Well, talk about your process, too. I heard you kind of say that you only, like, looked at the script twice, but you didn't want that to be the focus of
your acting. No, I only read it once.
How do you
I read it
that?
Once, but... Yeah, I didn't want to read. I didn't want to look at all that stuff, because if you start to, for me, what I did research online. I figured out a walk for the character. I figured out a voice. I learned my lines, you know, and I learned what I was talking about, what I was doing. And I realized that I didn't really want to know what the repercussions of what my character did, because I thought that 2017 or 2015 at the time, Jason Stewart would not react the same way, you know, 1831 Joseph Randall would. So I didn't want to seem false in any way. So I really didn't want to, you know, to do that.
Gotcha. Wow, that's very cool. And then talk about film festivals. You are known, you've gone to quite a few film festivals with a lot of your roles. What is a film festival to you like? I mean, that's kind of, you're there to sell the picture, to get it produced or get it to at least distributed, right? But what is your job going to festivals?
I think my job is to be a supporter and a champion for any films, you know.
Do you enjoy going to the film festivals?
Oh, I love, because I love movies. I mean, you know, I love movies, and I love the whole idea of that creative process. So, and I love meeting other filmmakers. I mean, I remember when I was at Sundance with Birth of a Nation, and what's his name? I'm going to look it up. He directed this wonderful film called The Land. I love this movie so much. If you can see it, it's a great movie to see. And I remember going, after the second screening of Birth of a Nation, I remember seeing him, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, man, I really want to meet this director. And I was a little shy to say anything at first, and I saw him, and I was standing around, and people were coming over to me and said, hey, love the performance. And all I could think about was him, and I had my cards ready. And he comes over to me, and I said, I just want to give you my card. I love your movie so much. He said, yeah. It's Stephen Cable, C-A-B-L-E. C-A-P-L-E. C-A-P. Cable, C-A-P-L-E. That was Stephen Cable Jr. That's his name. And he comes, he said, man, you were so good. And when I saw you stand in front at the Q&A and you told your little story, and he said, you were like a completely different person. And it was such, and I totally forgot that he had seen my work in the movie. All I could think of was, how do I get my card to this guy so he'll hire me? Because I'm so not used to people, you know, I don't know. I'm always sort of used to working hard. I got to change the narrative in my, even when I say it out loud now, I feel sort of embarrassed that I'm saying this, because it's just not the truth. It's really not real.
We talked about that the other time, last time you were on too. You are very kind of a shy, withdrawn, and you kind of don't, I don't think you give yourself the accolades that you deserve. Like you said, you're talking about the intro and everything. This is everything you've done. You really need to get that confidence up, because you are so damn good, my friend.
Well, that's very sweet of you. It's not confidence. It's this, you know, this is such a strange business with so many different people that come from different point of views. You just don't want to seem a certain way. And I think that,
that's true.
You know, in the past, because if you're a hard worker, people see you a certain way, and they see you as an aggressive personality type. And I don't know, I'm a, you know, Jew from New York, so I'm sort of like, you know, I grew up with a lot of yelling and screaming. So as I've gotten older, I've been more cautious than when I was younger. I was a little more rambunctious, and now I'm not as. Maybe I've gone too much the other way.
Now, what do you get out of the, besides seeing all these great movies at the film festivals, is this a great way for you to network, or is that, do you learn from that? Because you're now doing all this directing again, and you've always written for comedy and for yourself. What else, what do you learn from by going to the film festivals?
I think first you get to see incredible work.
Right.
You know? And that's something that really is what I love. That's my, I just love finding a new director I want to work with. And the second thing, I think, is you get to meet people on an even playing field, especially if you're in a film. And, you know, they get to see your work, you get to see theirs. People say, do you network? I said, no, I don't network. What I do is I try to meet and talk to people that I admire and see if they want to, you know, be creative together.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Well, because nice. Network always seems like such hard work and scares me. And I used to want to meet everybody in the festival. Now I just try to meet whoever seems interesting to me.
That
you know,
like
I just try to,
and
whoever seems open to, you know, discussing.
I love that. Well, we're already
halfway
through. I can't believe we've been 20 minutes already. We're going to go ahead and take a little break. And in honor of you and what I read in my research, we're going to play a little bit of Barbra Streisand, My Man. When we come back, we're talking to amazing Jason Stewart. Of course, we're listening to Left of Strange. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair. But I don't care when he takes me in his arms. The world is bright, all right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away when I know I'll It cost me a lot, but there's one thing that I've got, it's my man. Cold and wet, tired, you bet, but all that I soon forget with my man. He's not much for looks, and no hero out of books is my man. Two or three girls has he that he likes as well as me, but I love him. Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just a spell, but I don't care when he takes me in his arms.
I just love the little barber in the afternoon, don't you? Nice.
Oh my God, I love. I was singing with it. Oh my man,
good,
I love
choice
the
song. Song, Jason Stewart. I can see why that's one of your favorites. I love that.
Oh, it reminds me of my ex-boyfriend Tony.
Aw, that's so cute. I love that. What's your affinity to Barbara? Just Barbara in general, or just that song? Is that the song that resonates with you?
Well, I think she, you know, for the kids that are listening, you know, she was, if there was no Barbara, there'd be no Bette Midler. If there was no Barbara, there'd be no Rhoda. If there was no Barbara, there'd be no Madonna. If there was no Barbara, there'd be no Lady Gaga. You know, she created, she changed everything. So someone who wasn't perfect looking could be a star. In the 70s and 80s, you know, Barbara Streisand was the biggest movie star in the world, and below that was Jane Fonda, and then there was everybody else.
Right. So true.
You know, people forget, you know, that she broke the mold. I just wish she had done more movies, and I wish she'd, you know, work with other people more. But I think she got so beat up by the press and everything.
Yeah, she couldn't get a break, whether she was directing, starring. She was just getting hammered from every which way, and they were some excellent movies.
Oh, what? There's nothing funnier than What's Up, Doc?
Oh, God, that's funny. You're right. Yentl just the other night.
Is a masterpiece. Certainly, Prince of Tides was one of the first films about child abuse. The Way We Were is just one of the most romantic films that ever lived. On a Clear Day is Minnelli, one of his last movies. It's
right.
So beautifully shot. It's just gorgeous. You know, A Star Is Born, rock and roll musical. Now they're redoing it with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. You know, I'd heard that she'd been asked to direct that, but she didn't want to do it because she figured she did that already.
Really?
I didn't hear that part of it.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. She's also got 4 movies she's trying to make a career for. Yeah, certainly Gypsy. She's been trying to act in and produce. She wanted to direct a film about Catherine the Great with Cate Blanchett.
She had another film.
Yeah, she's trying to do it. Margaret Brooks White, the photographer, forever. And now she doesn't want to act it. Now she just wants to direct it. But people aren't giving her the money, you know. Or maybe she's too old school and wants too much money. You know, they don't make movies like that anymore, you know, for that kind of price. I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm not smart. I don't really know.
They're really getting – they're missing out. I mean, she is a classic and iconic. Let's get back to awards. We talked about festivals. Speaking of which, you're going this weekend to the Out Web Fest Awards. You've been there quite a few years now. I mean, you did a great job with Mentor and everything.
How'd you know I was going?
I know everything. Jason Stewart, I do my research.
Well, they're doing a sneak peek of my short. It's not in the festival. It's just a sneak peek, and it's called Like Father. And I had been in a reading at the Writers Guild to the LGBT committee. I was in 3 different scenes. They would read scenes from movies or TV shows or pilots or short films or web series, and I was in 3 of them. In this particular one, people really reacted so positively to, and I asked them if I could make a short film out of it, and it was about a father and a son. It was just, it was like 8 or 9 pages, and that was it. And then I said, can I add a mother, and can I add a healthcare worker? And I added someone to play the wife. And and you can see on my website now, I still don't know how you knew this, because I haven't told anybody.
I didn't know it was playing. I just knew you were going.
How did you know I was going? Are you going?
I'm not going. I'm not. I can't.
You have to tell me. It's freaking me out. Did you do an interview with Damian Pellicciacone?
No, I did not. I did not.
Who runs the festival? He's the guy, and his husband, Chris Rodriguez. Well, I don't know how you knew this.
I do know people that are going this weekend. I'll leave it at that, because I'm very good friends with Stan Zimmerman, who's going for part of Telefilms. They're doing his Skirt Chasers and his Sex and Execs.
How do they know I'm going? I haven't told anybody. They're doing a little sneak. It's a surprise, and now I've ruined it. But hopefully this is just Ohio, right? And no one's going to – they hear this everywhere. It's on the Internet. Anyway, so I'm doing a little sneak peek of the film, just a little sneak peek of it. And one of the producers is going to come with me, Scott Crawford. And that's it.
Well, speaking of it, as you talk about your health care, a very good friend of my show is Terry Raid. He said to say hi.
That's how you know. Terry Raid plays the healthcare worker, and it's Sammy.
Exactly. No, Terry Raid is a great friend of the show. Been on many, many times, and
he's
I love
adorable.
Terry Raid.
Well, he's really good in it. He's so different. It's very dramatic for him. I've cast him in 2 different roles that are completely different from anything he's done. And I'm really that's what I love to do. I love that idea of doing that. He's been in both of my projects that I've directed.
You can't have a better actor than Terry. I'm so excited for him. But this is just – it's so exciting. This life project, it's great. You work with Mike McManning, who – you got to get me his contact number. I've wanted him on my show forever, and I can't get a hold of him. But
I'll send you his email.
But it just seems like it's going to be a fantastic movie. It's autobiographical, I'm guessing, right?
Uh-huh.
And how long have you kind of had this in you? Did it just start coming out after your father died?
No, I didn't write it. I did not write it. It was written by Daniel Valancourt and David A. Lee, an actual couple. So I did not write it.
I thought you wrote it too. You just directed and starred it. I didn't know you didn't write it.
No,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
My research is not as good as I thought there. So you know. But,
you know,
a lot
of people have thought that, and that's you know, because I, you know, everybody assumes that I'd, you know, do the whole thing, but no, that is they wrote it, so I cannot take credit for that. But I directed it and produced it and acted in it.
That is amazing. And your character, Lenny, what, talk about your character.
I play a older Jewish man who is dying of lung cancer, and my son basically comes to me, and I really want forgiveness for treating him so badly for him being gay. And that's all I'll tell you for now. Denise Dowse from 90210, she played the principal in that, and Coach Carter, and so many wonderful shows currently. She plays my wife, and Nick Pugh plays my son, and Terry plays, it's just four, and then Mike plays in a fantasy sequence, he plays the boyfriend of Nick Pugh in it.
Wow, that's amazing. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be
so
great.
And he produced a film called Jinn about a Muslim woman who's a weather lady, and I play a racist newscaster in that film. I have a small part. I have a couple scenes.
Really?
So he cast me in that. It's a film he produced. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your web series that you did, Mentor, was so good, and now I guess the web series are available for Emmy consideration. I know that's part of the reason they're doing the telefilms there, the sex execs.
Yeah, we tried to get up there last year. We didn't make it for Emmy, but it's on Reverie. You can watch it now, R-E-V-R-Y. It's on the Reverie app. You can watch it, and it's the 6 episodes.
And
it starts
Reverie's
myself,
doing such
Paul.
Great shows now, too. But, yeah, you got to check it out because that is so cool. And based on your actual mentoring, I mean, you've been a mentor and a foster. That's got to be so fulfilling to you, especially
well,
in today's day and age.
I haven't fostered any kids. I've been doing it for years, yeah. And one thing I learned is they don't do what you tell them to do. And I get the kids after the parents screwed up. And most of my kids are starting to get older. They're now in their late 20s and stuff, so they're starting to get older.
Oh, wow. They have had any interesting stories, them coming back to you and just giving you
One of the girls that I had done, yeah, she got divorced and very young, got married, and now she and I have reconnected again. I was a little hurt by it, I have to say, that she disappeared, and then I just reached out to her again, and we're back. And, you know, people come and go. You know, the 20s are the time when people figure out who they are. The 30s, they start to practice it. The 40s, they start to be it. And in your 50s, you know, you just lie down.
I hear
you. So
I'm
tired.
Approaching that, like, tomorrow. I hear you on that. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, talk
yes,
about,
yes.
Along with, of course, all this great acting, Teresa, you do your stand-up still. You were in the improv, I heard, Saturday. How did that go?
At the Improv here in La Hollywood with my friend Shang, I really had such an incredible set. I had such a great time. I had just been in Reno before at the Reno Laugh Factory at the, what was it called? Legacy, something like Silver Legacy Casino. And I was doing my shows, and I had a really good time. I was working with Mitch Vitel, and I had a good time, and you know, then I did the improv here, and just something happened. Chang and I working together, it was just such an electric audience. And he asked me to work with him again somewhere in Orange County. And where is it? I forgot what city it is. I'm going to work with him soon again, hopefully. So I'm trying to work, instead of just doing my show by myself, I'm starting to work with people I really want to work with and have more. It's more fun for me.
Nice. And you were up in Reno recently at Laugh Factory, and you did Mary's out in Ontario, didn't you?
Oh, God, yeah. That was a while ago. Dear God.
That was that long ago?
I don't know
ago?
Where you're – you must be looking at – I don't know. It's like your Kreskin or, you know, that the Long Island psychic or something. How do you know all this?
I just look at bizarre things everywhere. I have great research, believe me. I have fun with it.
Did you
and then
see
I
me
got
on
–
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if you saw the note on the promo picture. Last week I had on the show Charlie Vaughn. He's one of the he just signed on for Child of the 70s with Michael Vaccaro as a producer this year. And so I put up your promo picture, and Charlie said I had to tell you how wonderful you were to him when he was first doing stand-up. And I guess he did something back in – Park's restaurant in West Hollywood, where you kind of got to pick his dream people. And you said you were instrumental in being there with all these stand-ups that he admired so much. And you eventually went on to help him in another show. And he just thinks you're the next best thing to slice bread.
Really?
Yes.
I know he's the producer on something. I'm going to go look right now. I know he's the producer on some, I think a film that I'm in.
He's a producer, and so he's like producer. He has as many producer credits as you have acting credits, it seems.
V-A-U-G-H-A-N, right? Yeah, I forgot. I know we're working together on something. I think he's going to be producing a film I'm doing in the fall called, Dead Ringer. I'm not sure how many deads there is in it, but I think I might.
That will be fun. Charlie's a great guy. I love Charlie. I've had him on. He's produced quite a few things, and I've had him on a few times for different shows. But he wanted to say how admiring is of you when he did his back. Because I guess the thing that Mark, that was back like 2004 before Facebook and everything. And just to get people out there, it's like it was tough stuff. But he said you and other comedians were so generous with your time. And so he was just very thankful.
I'm glad to hear that. I hate to hear that I was a jerk.
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, speaking of mentor, I didn't know that you're like besties with Alexander Paul. That is just.
Oh yeah, she's been my closest friend for God 30 years almost.
I don't know why that's wild to me, but that's just wild to me. That is so cool.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I just think of her as this kind of hippie chick. I know she loves animals and she does all this great acting and she does all this great other cause. I just didn't see your causes melding for some reason. I think that's a kind of a cool friendship.
Oh, yeah. No, I've known her forever.
That is kind of cool. What do you like best about it? What kind of draws you to her as a friend?
God, there's so many things. We've known each other so long, so history is important to me.
Right.
Where
did you first meet? Do you remember?
Yeah, we met through a group called Young Artists United.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And she was just so fabulous and such an interesting gal. Someone, you know, who thought this Goyesha princess was going to be my, you know, dear friend.
I love it, though. You know? I love that when you find these things that you don't expect, and then you have these wonderful friendships bloom out. That is just awesome. Hey, I want to play
and
a quick little game
also,
for you before we go. Go ahead.
She also, you know, she's so environmentally and so much about doing things for other people, and I just think that that really was very much of a thing for me.
Yeah, she was environmental. Environmental wasn't cool. I mean, I remember she was like the first composting and the Priuses. She would talk about all this stuff.
Oh, everything, yeah. And
I
just
that is so awesome. Well, we're almost running out of time. I can't believe it's already 10 minutes to 6. Right? We're almost going for like 40 minutes here. We'll finish up. I want to play a little bit of what I call first impressions because you've been on so many cool things. So I just want your first impression, either a word, a sentence, or a little story on different places that are interesting to me and tell me what they mean to you. Talk about – now, you were on – with. Did you play opposite or did you get to meet Doris Roberts on that last project she was on?
No, I didn't meet her, but I did meet her.
What is she like in person? She just seems so.
She
cool.
was exactly the same, but not mean, you know.
I love that. And what about the set of Entourage? What was your first impression when you walked in to play on Entourage one time?
Kevin Dillon was just so kind.
Nice.
And
I like
so
that.
I work with Kevin Dillon. I work with Doug Ellen, and I the writer, producer, director, creator, and then I also work with who else? Kevin. Oh, Edward Dice Clay was the guest star.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But if you have Netflix, you can see me. I'm on two shows on Netflix. I'm on Real Rob Schneider's show, in season 1, episode 5. And then you get to see me without my shirt. I'm in a sauna. And then
Woo-hoo.
in in I'm in Judd Apatow's new show, season 2, episode 12. I play a shrink on that.
I have my Netflix. I'm writing all these down as you speak.
Yeah, those are brand new. Both of those are brand new things that I did.
Nice. What first impression of George Lopez? You worked with him a couple times.
Oh, I know him. I work with him, you know, as a comedian, but then I worked on his show, but that was quite a while ago. He was just a nice guy, very sweet, helpful. I mean, nothing special in terms of – he just, you know, just a really – exactly who he seems like on TV.
Nice. And now Will and Grace is coming back. You were on there a couple times. What's that set like?
I have to say I'd never been on a show that – was so, where the fans went so crazy, and I thought, oh, I know how to do this, and then I went, oh, wow, I got to do something to get their attention.
Oh,
you know.
Funny. And one of my heroes, you were with John Lithgow. What was he like?
Oh, man. He was really helpful because I was scared half to death, you know.
Really?
Yeah, he was very helpful. I mean, I played the guy who married them, a friend who married them in the top of the film, and I had all the lines, so I, you know, was very nervous. You know, I didn't really know what, you know, what it was. I had to speak for 2 pages.
Wow,
and
that is a lot.
In front of everybody there had won an Oscar or a Tony or an Emmy, and I'm talking to everybody, you know. John Lithgow, Oscar nominee, Emmy winner, Tony winner. Who else was there? Alfred Molina, Emmy and Tony winner. You know, Marissa Tomei, Oscar winner. It was just really very intimidating.
Right.
And he just put me right at ease.
Oh, that is cool.
He really, and so did, you know, so did Alfred or Fred. And he said, call me Fred. And he said, anybody ever tells me they know me and they called me Alfred, they'll know that, you know, you'll know they don't know me because I'm Fred. And we've emailed back and forth, both of them, a couple times. And they've kept in touch and, you know.
He's an amazing actor. Even when he did Spider-Man, he was an amazing actor. I mean, he's so good.
Yeah, he's just. They just amaze me, both of them.
That's cool. Now, give me your last thing. What's your first impression of the best comedy club you ever worked at and the worst one? Which comedy club gave you the best first impression, which gave you the worst first impression?
Well, you want me to tell you the real truth? Oh, God. Funny Bone in Des Moines, Iowa. The guy who ran that was a nightmare. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
He fired me. Oh, you know him?
No.
He was just a nightmare. I was selling out and he fired me. It was just one of my worst experiences ever. And then probably one of the best. I used to love working at the Austin Comedy Club. I really grew there. Austin and Houston, those two clubs, I really grew there in the 90s. I haven't been there back in a million years, but I used to love it. I also used to love working at the Columbus Funny Bone.
Nice. Oh, Columbus, yeah, right down the hallway, right down this road there. Well, that is cool. Thanks for playing First Impressions. I can't believe we're running out of time here. Let's give everyone a couple of last minutes where they can find you on social media.
Go to jasonstewart.com. You just go to jasonstewart.com, Stuart, Stuart, and everything is there that you can possibly think of.
And we won't even talk about your sneak peek this weekend, but what, do you have another stand-up gig lined up anytime soon?
Oh, I don't even know. I know I'm going to be in Vegas in September. I got to look. I can look right now because I'm right here. I go to Vegas in September. I'm doing Brad Garrett's room at what used to be the MGM Grand. It's now called the Signature Hotel. And then I'm also going to be doing, on the 15th of July, I will be at the Portland Queer Comedy Festival. And then on the 27th of July, I'm going to be at Martini's Above Fourth with Vicky Bobolar, who's absolutely hysterically funny. And then I'm going to be at the Pechanga Resort at the 10th, that's October 13th and 14th. And then I'm doing 2 cruises next year.
I want to go to your Steve Grand cruise with you and Steve Grand and Candy Ho. That sounds fun.
I don't know Candy Ho, but I hear that he is, or she is, I guess, I'm not sure I know it's a drag personality, but I'm not sure if he. I guess it's drag. So I'm not sure. I've not seen him, but I've heard that he's terrific. And Steve Grand, it's his sort of cruise. And then I'm doing an LGBT cruise January 13th to 4th. I mean, February 13th to 4th. And the Steve Grand is actually my birthday, so I'm going to be very sad on that cruise.
Aww. Well, I'm sure that everyone there will make you feel right at home and nappy. They'll have you happy, little boy. Just don't think about the age stuff. That's what I have anniversaries now. I gave up on birthdays. I just had an anniversary, 29th birthday. So every birthday is an anniversary for me.
Oh, God. That's a good idea.
Well, Jason Stewart, thanks so much for taking time to call in today. I really appreciate it, my friend.
I so appreciate you appreciating me. You've been so kind. I wish you were running the business.
Well, you are welcome anytime.
Well, hopefully
and
we'll get
ahead.
To meet. I'll come and do Gay Pride for you in next year. That would be lovely.
I would love that. We will definitely keep in touch. Well, stay on the line for me. We're going to play out a little bit of Tom Goss, More Than Temporary. When we come back, I'm going to close up the show. You've been listening to the fantastic actor and funny man, Jason Stewart, right here on the Left of Straight show. Be back in just a little bit.
Okay. That was fun.
Yeah. Can I get a picture of you?
This outfit?
Yeah.
Okay. Just for some.
It's very cute.
How are you?
I'd love to see you again.
I have to go to work.
This is KHJ Radio 7. And do you smell that? That's love in the air. Did you know that there are over 34,000 LGBT couples in the Bay Area alone? This one goes out to Pat and Loretta celebrating 30 years together. Congratulations, Pat and Loretta. We think this song says it all. Here's Tom Goss with More Than Temporary.
One more down. 14 hours. Breathe.
Sunday morning, oh, this could be love.
right, we are back. Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate Jason Stewart calling in. Tune in tomorrow. We got another great show tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @leftofstraight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. On Facebook, it's Left of Straight Show is our page to like on Facebook. And you can follow me personally at Scott Fullerton right there as well. Thanks so much for being part of the show. We will see you tomorrow. We are out of here. Bye.